Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Dean Judkins of Holy Ghost Fire Church, along with teacher, Pastor Charlie Sims of Holy Ghost Fire Church. How are we doing, Charlie? Have you recovered from the 18,000 feet of snow that we've gotten?
I think I've recovered from that. We got to start all over again tomorrow.
I know. More snow coming tomorrow.
More snow. And when I was looking at the latest forecast, we're right on the edge of between 3 and 10 inches. So we'll just have to see what comes in tomorrow.
Wait a minute now. I heard a dust in the 3. Now you're telling me 3 to 10.
Yeah, we're right on the edge in there somewhere. We're going to get at least 3 and probably more. So.
Wow. Well, Lord, right now we rebuke that snow in Jesus' name. We've got enough here. And I just ask, Lord, that it would just pass us by in Jesus' name.
Well, that'd be great.
All right. You pick the subject. How about if I open in prayer today?
Go ahead.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, I just praise you. I love you. I worship you, Father. Lord, we do this for all your glory and all your edification, Lord. We do this because we love you. So right now, Father, we just ask that the people would hear. Holy Ghost, we just ask that you would open the eyes, the ears, and the hearts of the people listening at home. We ask that you bless this, that you lead this, and we just praise you, we love you, we honor you, and we worship you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, so today, Charlie picked the subject. And Charlie, this goes right along with on Facebook the other day, we asked a question, what are some of the things that people wanted us to teach on? And boy, Charlie, that was quite a list, was it not?
Yeah, it was quite a list, but... to be honest with you, I'd been looking and reading in James for a few days prior to that. So that's interesting that you posted that, but I'd been looking in James anyway. So,
and we didn't you know, tell each other anything. You didn't tell me about this until 2 days ago. And but so it's interesting. We know it's of God because a lot of the stuff that we're going to be talking about before you even knew what was going on is a lot of what the people were asking about. So this is going to be good. This is going to be interesting. Get your Bibles. Get your pen and paper. Write down the scriptures. Get into the scriptures afterwards. Study and meditate on them. Never take Charlie or my's word on anything. Allow the Holy Ghost to minister to you through the word. And the subject today is some basic reasons for unanswered prayer. Now, Charlie, I know you being a man of God for 44-plus years, your prayers are always answered. You've never had any unanswered prayer. So we are learning from an expert.
Yeah, right. If you believe that, I got some oceanfront property out in the desert, I'll say.
All right, my dear friend, take it away.
We want to start tonight with one basic scripture that is very important to our walk with the Lord. And it's in Philippians chapter 3, and it's verse 10. And it says, that I may know him, and that is absolutely critical, that I may know him. If we don't know him, we really can't have a relationship with him. So when we pray, we don't pray in the right way. And so we need to know him. We need to have fellowship with him. If we, you know, we can know about somebody, but we don't know them. And that there's a big difference between the two, because we can know about a lot of things or about a lot of people, but we don't know them. Because I know my wife. I'm familiar with her habit patterns, her little idiosyncrasies. I'm familiar with all of those things. So I've been around her. We've been through things together. So we know each other. And that's what this means right here, that I might know him. And it goes on to say, and the power, that word there is dunamis, of his resurrection Because if we know him, we're going to experience the power of his resurrection. And if we know him, we're going to go through some things and the fellowship of his sufferings. So we're going to go through some things because we do know him. And because of that, we need to know how to pray, and we need to know why sometimes when we do pray, we may not get the response that we want. Now, this, what we're doing tonight is not all-inclusive. There are some things that we probably, that we will not cover tonight, but it will cover a lot of things in there. So let's begin. Let's turn over to James chapter 4. We're going to have a lot of scriptures out of James. We're going to have some other scriptures mixed in. Let's go over to James chapter 4. Now, let's look at the, you want to read them, brother?
Yeah, let me get over there. I had somebody just saying they couldn't get into the blog radio, so I was typing back to them real quick. But James.
Okay. Chapter 4.
They just gave me the thumbs up, so I'm hoping they're there now.
Okay. The first few scriptures there.
All right. James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war is in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask.
Go to 3 and 5.
You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on all your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scriptures say in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously?
That covers a lot, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Okay. And we're going to look at some of these scriptures. There's another one that's in here. That's John 8:44, and it says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now, James 4:1 speaks of lust. It speaks of the first few verses, it covers lust, murder, covetousness, fighting in wrath. So when we talk about lust, we're talking about things that we earnestly desire and we have an overt desire for. It's not just in the realm of the sexual lust. It can be lust for money. It can be lust for possession. It can be lust for a lot of different things. But it talks about that. It says, "From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they hence, or even your lust that are war in your members?" So the desire to have things creates problems. It creates issues. So if we desire them with so much within us that we will war and fight and we will contend to get them because that's what is in us. You agree or disagree?
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. I'm thinking of, a lot of times people think because they're born again or they're a Christian, and you notice I use the term they think that they're a Christian. Mm-hmm. They can go ahead and do whatever they want. They can have the lust of this earth. And again, it's not just like sexual lust that's talking about. It can be, lusting or wanting what somebody else has, or you want this, you want that. And so they figure, well, you know what? I'm a Christian, so I'm going to pray that God will give me this. And I guess the example I think of is I have kids, and I have a daughter who's 11 years old. And if she were to sit down and say, "Hey, Dad, I would like a car. I want a car right now. I want to drive a car." And so she's asking, well, this is silly, of course, but she's asking amiss because she's not 16 years old yet, hasn't taken driver's ed, hasn't gotten her driver's license. So she has she shouldn't be asking to drive a car. She has no right to do it whatsoever. She's asking me amiss, or the timing is not right. And I think that happens a lot in the body of Christ. They'll ask a MISC, but a lot of times they'll ask and the timing isn't right.
That's right. They sure will. And this goes along with murder. In other words, you kill someone. And murder is premeditated. In other words, it's something that you plan. It's that you want to do. It's that it's to destroy something or somebody. And not only is it physical murder, but how about destroying somebody emotionally?
Amen. I agree.
I mean, the fighting and that kind of thing can create a condition to where you're literally destroying someone's spirit, you're destroying someone's soul, you're hurting them severely. And covetousness ties in with it too, because covetousness is that they want those things and they want them so badly that they will contend, they will create fight and wrath, and they will do all those things because of covetousness. And when people get into anger and they let that anger control them, that anger can lead to all kinds of things, and it can be subversive. You know, you can smile real nice, but underneath there's that boiling pot of anger that says, I'm going to get you, I'm going to get even with you, and I'm going to have what I want. I don't care what you think about it. I'm going to get it one way or the other. And if I have to run over you to get it, I'm going to run over you to get it.
Hey, can I add these scriptures here? This is for free right here. I'm in Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. It says, Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his conscience fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your conscience fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. So that anger you were just talking about right there is something that can actually, over the course of time, or can lead to jealousy, and jealousy and anger can lead to murder. And I believe there, Charlie, that Cain had already made it up in his mind that he was going to kill his brother. So that's premeditated murder, like you said.
It was premeditated. The Lord offered him an out. The Lord gave him a way to do right. The Lord gave him an option to do the right thing. And even after he killed Abel, the Lord allowed Cain to live, because I think the Lord was showing there, some may disagree with me on this, but I think the Lord was showing there that he allowed Cain to live, even though he did what he did, that every life is valuable. That we don't want to just snuff out life, to be snuffing out life, that every life was valuable. But all that fighting and wrath and anger and that kind of thing, it leads to murder. Right there.
Amen.
And so we have in James 4:2, we talked about murder, we talked about covetousness, we talk about fighting and wrath. Because boy, it can really get in there, because when that anger begins to rise up, that thing will take over and control you. And if you don't deal with it, it's like someone gets so caught up in something, they get so angry. Now, it can go over into something else. It can go over into the demonic. And this is why we have people that sometimes get into arguments and fights and things like that. And someone will kill someone or murder someone, and they don't remember doing it. They blanked out. I guarantee you, Satan and his emissaries were involved in that, because they could not remember doing it. They were so hot, full of anger, that those anger demons took over, and the demons of murder took over, and it killed somebody, because it says that the devil was a murderer from the beginning.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And here is one that, if you turn over there, 1 Peter 3:7. Let's look at this one.
Would you like me to read that, brother?
Go ahead.
All right, 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Give an honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. You know, I'm going to tell a quick story before you get into something here. It's kind of funny.
Okay.
There was a time in my Christian life with my first marriage. Well, Charlie, I know it's hard to believe, but my first wife and I, we tend to argue every now and then. Of course, now I wasn't a pastor then. I wasn't as, you know, mature in the Lord as I am now. So we would sit down there and fight all the way to church, get to church, put our faces on, and, you know, become Mr. and Mrs. Super Christian. Everything was beautiful. We were tiptoeing through the tulips. We would no more than get back in the car and we'd argue all the way home. And now, you know, now I know why a lot of the things that I was asking God for, I never received, because boy, was I missing it.
Mm-hmm. This deals primarily with the husbands here, but there's other scriptures that talk about the wives adapting themselves to their own husbands and so forth. But in this one, it says, in the same way, you husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, with great gentleness and tact. I'm reading out Amplified here. And with an intelligent regard for the marriage relationship, as with someone physically weaker, since she is a woman, show her honor and respect as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. So, you know, whether it be the man, the woman, if you treat your spouse badly, that's going to lead to a condition where the Lord's not going to hear your prayer. Not going to hear it. And, that's one of the reasons for unanswered prayers right there is treating your spouse badly. The Lord's not going to hear the prayer. Those things have to be dealt with. They have to, you know, you have to come together. You have to work through the things and get at peace to where the prayers won't be hindered or ineffective. So we have to do that. So we want to be able to come together, that when we can agree together, and then something will happen. Because the thing of fighting in the car on the way to church is a common practice. And then you get there, you all smile, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, you know. And there's been this heated debate on the way in. And most of the time over something real stupid, and it really doesn't amount to anything.
Hey, could you imagine Satan and a demon sitting there in that car with you, eating some popcorn, sitting back laughing at the whole time? You know, you're going to church doing all this stuff, and that's pretty funny. We used to call putting on our church face, so we'd have to go and put our church face on. And it's funny too, because when I was younger, I this is kind of off subject, but it just came to my mind. I don't know about you, but when you'd go to church, maybe you wouldn't go for a week or something like that. There'd be like 6 or 7 people that would call you and say, hey, is everything all right? We missed you at church today. Hey, we didn't see you at church today. You know, or this or that and stuff. And so when we'd get the call, say we went to go do something one Sunday, we had a family event, or perhaps, you know, you were a little under the weather or something like that, or you just didn't want to go that week. And the phone would ring, and I'd always sit down and say, oh, church police are calling, the church police. And so,
yeah, that's true too. There for a while, we went to a church, and if we missed a Sunday, they would send you a note. We missed you. Send your tithe in.
Oh, jeez! Wow.
Okay.
And for all of those listening out there right now, Charlie is, he believes in the tithe. He absolutely loves the tithe. So if you want to send your fruits and vegetables to Charlie, he'll be more than happy to take them. And, you know, you guys will have a great relationship with him.
I'm glad you clarified that. It's Old Testament, not New Testament. Okay. In James 4:3. Oh, we'll get there. In James 4:3, it says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. You're asking to consume it upon your... See, the Lord knows the heart. And the Lord knows what's in your heart. And if you're praying and asking for something in sincerity, the Lord will hear that prayer. But if you're asking it to heap it upon your own desires, you know, it will hinder because you're asking amiss. You're asking for the wrong thing. You're asking for something that's, and again, the Lord knows what we need. In other scriptures, it says the Lord knows what we need before we even ask, but he still wants us to ask. But if we ask for the wrong thing, it can hurt us. And I can tell you honestly, I have known people that they asked, and they asked them this, and the Lord reluctantly, I'm sure, gave them what they asked for, and that thing turned out to be a monster and just about destroyed them. So you got to be careful with that too.
Well, think about in Scripture in Psalms where it talks about they were the children of Israel being fed the manna from heaven, and
yeah,
they weren't happy with that, so they wanted meat. So they kept saying, "We want quail, we want quail, we want quail." Well, folks, God sent some quail. I mean, there were so many quail you could pick them out of the sky. Charlie, what happened to them when they got sat down and got that meat? God gave them what they wanted.
Well, yeah, they ate so much of it, it came out of their nose, and a lot of them died. They got what they wanted.
Sometimes be careful what you ask for.
That's right. They got what they wanted. James 4:4, you back in James yet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, James 4:4.
Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God.
Ooh.
Wow. Woo-hoo-hoo. We lost about half the audience right there, my friend.
We probably did.
We probably lost half of them right there.
On that one right there. The adulterers and adulteresses. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. That speaks of adultery as we know it is an illicit relationship outside of marriage. And so if you're doing that, then you're participating in friendship with the world and you become an enemy of God. That's dangerous ground, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't want to be an enemy of God. All throughout Scripture, the enemy's never fared very well.
No. And friendship with the world means that you take on the world's way of doing things, the world's way of thinking, the world's way of conducting yourself, the world's way of just living your life. When you become friends with the world, you become an enemy with God. And that's dangerous. And sad to say, I've known a lot of, quote, Christian, end quote, people who were more friends with the world than they were with Jesus, because they would do everything the world had to offer. I know people right now that know more about the people who live in Hollywood than they know about the Scriptures, and that's pathetic.
Yeah, they could tell you everything that happened on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, but they can't quote Scripture out of the New Testament when it comes down to healing or something like that.
No, they have no idea.
Yeah, we joke about it and stuff, but it's kind of sad, Charlie. You know, it's really sad.
And whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, I don't want to be a friend of the world.
No.
Because I don't want... Because if you become the enemy of God, that's I don't even want to go there. I don't want to go nowhere. I don't want to go anywhere near that.
Hey, I don't know about you, Charlie, but since I've been just preaching out of the Word and going by, you know, strictly by what the Word of God says, and you tell the truth, sometimes the truth is not so pretty and it hurts. But since I've done that, I don't really have to worry too much about the world liking me. They tend not to. And I get a lot of nice words from a lot of people. So I don't think I have that problem right there. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. It's much better to be a friend of God than it is to be a friend of the world.
Yes, it is, because I want to be called friend by Him. I want to know Him enough that He calls me friend,
And you know, there's a lot of ministries out there too. And people who know me, I don't drop names. I don't like to talk about other ministries and stuff because, you know, I want mine to succeed. So, but there are other people that are doing the or preaching the gospel and stuff that are friends of the world. And that's that blended Christianity that we talked about and everything. So we have to be very careful. And that's why it's so important to get into the Word and become that friend of God and to study that Word, so that you don't get caught up in a worldly church.
That's right. That's right. And another one we run into is lack of fellowship with the Lord. Again, it's to know Him. It's in John 15 and verse 7. And it says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, that is, I'm reading out Amplified here again, that is, if we are vitally united and my message lives in your heart, ask whatever you wish and it will be done to you. Now,
glory! Glory! Now that is good. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Sorry, I just had to get that in there.
this scripture has been really perverted by the name it, claim it, and blab it and grab it folks. But when you put this in its proper context, it says, "If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, it says you shall ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done to you." That's because when you know that what you're asking for is in the will of God and in the plan and purposes for His life, for your life, He will give you what you ask for, because you're not asking amiss. You're asking in His will and purpose. You ask according to His will.
What is His will?
Yes.
What is His will? Is it the Word?
It's revealed in His Word.
Amen.
And you can know the general will of God by reading His Word. Because in there, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
That's right.
And so if you love the Lord and you desire to know Him, you will read the Word and you will look at the Word and you will obey the Word. It's like in here. We don't want to be adulterers. We don't want to be friends with the world. We don't want to treat each other badly. This is instruction in righteousness. This is instruction in how to live. And so when we ask, we don't want to ask amiss. We want to ask according to His will. We want to ask according to what He wants for our lives. And I tell you, the easiest way to pray in the will of God is to pray in tongues. That is the easiest and best way, because that way the Spirit prays through you and He prays according to the will of God.
Yeah, but Charlie, tongues has been done away with. It's of the devil.
Yeah, right.
There are denominations that'll tell you that, my friend.
Yes, I know, and I know some of those abominations. I know which one. I know some of them that do that, and they preach against that, I don't understand why. I love the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a Southerner. There was no doubt about it. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all.
I think he was from the East Coast, but go ahead.
No, he's from the South. When he says, I speak in tongues more than y'all, that's Southernese, boy.
All right, Jesus, forgive him. Forgive him, Lord. Forgive him. Just don't come back now, because Charlie would be in trouble. Oh, Charlie, are you still there? Are you still there, Charlie? Uh-oh, I think we lost him, folks. Oh, okay, he's still there. Whew. Thought you were raptured, Charlie.
Yeah, no, we not tonight. All right. Let's continue on here with pride. Pride is spoken of in James 4:6 and then Proverbs 29:3. Okay. You looking up Proverbs?
I've got Proverbs.
Okay, well, let me read James 4:6 here. It says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Proverbs 29:3 says,
whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice, but a companion of harlots wastes his wealth. That's not kind of lining up with it there, my friend.
Was it Proverbs 29:3?
Yeah, 29:3. Proverbs 29:3. That was Proverbs 29:3, but that kind of doesn't say too much about pride.
No, that must not have been it then.
So that one, folks, was for free?
Well, I missed that one. I went through these scriptures three different times. And I must have missed it. Yeah. I don't think that's a proverb, but James talks about pride.
Right.
And it says here, again, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And pride is a thing that makes it to the point of we get so infatuated with what we do, or who we are, or our degrees hanging on the wall, or our position, or whatever like that. Pride can come in many different forms, because it says God resisteth the proud, and the proud think they have it all together, and they think that they can do all this stuff because of who they are, or what they've got, or things they've earned.
I think I got the pride. Were you thinking it was, is it Proverbs 16:18? And it says,
go
pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall.
That was it. 16:18.
Okay.
And I had that written down on another piece of paper. I sure did. but pride, read that again.
Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know how many times I've heard that misspoken? They'll always say, pride goes before a fall.
Yeah.
Or pride cometh before a fall. And that's not what the scripture says here.
Pride will get you in a lot of trouble.
Amen.
Particularly if you're a Christian believer. But a worldly person who is really prideful will bring a lot of problems itself. Because pride is, and he says he gives grace to the humble. And humility is a thing that when we walk in humility, we walk in a place that we can be discerning, understanding, compassionate, and even if necessary, we can receive instruction and correction, because in humility we accept what the Lord says, and we accept what the Lord says, and in doing that, we grow in him. Pride says, I don't need God. The humble says, I need the Lord in everything that I do.
Pride also says that I can do this. I can do this. I.
Yeah. Well, when you spell pride, the middle word, the middle letter is I.
That's right.
So we're putting ourselves in position of being prideful. Selfishness goes along with pride, because the prideful person is selfish. They want everything into them. They want everything for themselves, and they want everything around them to be centered on them. They want everything that's in their sphere of influence or whatever they're doing. They want everything pulled into them, because all they're concerned about is themselves. And that's not humility. So that's selfishness, and selfishness and pride go kind of hand in hand. And we also have rebellion against God, and we find that in James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Because if you don't submit yourself to the Lord and resist the devil, you're in rebellion against God.
You know, a lot of, that's another scripture that's kind of misquoted a lot, where they'll talk about resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Mm-hmm. Well, there has to be a submission unto God before you can resist the devil, first of all.
And when you submit to the Lord, what does that mean? Tell me what that means.
To submit?
Yeah.
Means to listen to give your all. Give yourself to God. Submit. Listen. Be in obedience.
All those are good definitions, because when you submit yourself to the Lord, it has to do with obedience again.
That's that's a word that believers don't like to hear. Nobody likes that word obedience.
They don't like the word submit. They don't like the word obedience. I've known Christians who have, they've said it to me. I don't care what that Bible says. I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, you just made a choice. So when you make that kind of choice, you open yourself up that here comes the devil riding in. He can do just about anything he wants to you. When you submit to the Lord, it's obedience to him. And again, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
That's right.
And if we don't read his word, we don't know what his commandments are. And then we have to pray and say, Lord, give me grace to be obedient to your word. Because he says some pretty rough things in there sometimes. And we have to consistently pray and say, Lord, help us with these things. Because, again, it's a process. I would to God it was instantaneous. I do. I wish it was instant, but it's not. The Lord works with us. And some people he works on for years to get them to change those behavior patterns that are not good.
Yes, it's been years, brother. It has been years. And he's still working on me.
He's working on me, too. He's still working on me, too. And, I'm not ashamed to say it. I've been walking with him for 44 years, but every now and then the Lord will say, come here, Charlie. We need to go to the woodshed. I need to talk to you about something. people don't like to hear that either, but the Lord will chastise us.
You talk about chastising and stuff. Quick story for people out there. I was probably, I'm 50 years old, so I'm probably on the back end of the people that got taken out to the woodshed. Now, in your generation, you guys get taken out there all the time. But my mom would give me the belt. If I did something wrong, Charlie, she would whip me with that belt, and she would beat that thing into me. And if you were to do that now, people would sit down and take you to court. They'd arrest you. They'd take your children away from you and everything. But here's what I see, Charlie. Tell me if this was right back in your day, too. My mom, if I did something wrong, she'd give me the belt, and I knew it. And if she told me when we get home I'm giving the belt, it could be 7-8 hours, we'd go home, I'd get that belt. But something? To this day, my mom is 70 years old, and I adore that woman. I absolutely love her. I would do anything for her. I would die for her. And now you look at the kids now as they grow up, there's no discipline there. There's no belt or anything like that, and they hate their parents.
Yes, they do. They have no respect for them. Neither my mom or dad, my adopted mom or dad, one who adopted me, they didn't attend church very much at all. But that was back during the time period where there was a general morality in all the community, because I grew up in the 50s, and there was a general morality, and people respected, and people in many ways honored God in the way that they knew how to honor God. And when I would disobey, either my mother or my daddy, they didn't hesitate. They'd take a belt to me in a heartbeat. And I'm telling you, there were times, you heard the old expression, eat yourself off the mantelpiece. There were a few times in my life that I ate myself off the mantelpiece, and it hurt. And I had a few bruises. And they said, well, that's child abuse, blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you what it did for me. It kept me from doing drugs, from getting involved in drugs. It kept me from being disrespectful to my elders. To this day, particularly if I'm down south, and I even do it up here because it was just so ingrained in me. If someone comes along that's older than I am, I make sure I say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir. Because if you didn't down south, you got your little fanny switched real good. You didn't disrespect somebody. You didn't disrespect somebody else's parents like that, and you didn't respect your own. You didn't disrespect your own. You know, you get it. So we want to submit to the Lord and resist the devil, and he will flee from us.
And that has a lot to do with what you were just talking about with rebellion, because the kids today are rebellious because of that lack of that discipline.
Yeah.
And so it's just thought I was, remember my mom, boy, she'd tell me she was going to get me the belt. My brother, she was a woman of her word. It was.
Well, I can give you some stories, but we need to go on here. In James 4:8, it says to us, this is a draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. How about that?
I like the beginning. He tells you to draw near to him first, and if you do that, then God says he'll draw near to you.
That's right. And he says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Ooh. And purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now, is he speaking to the Christian or to the unsaved here?
Well, I'm going to say James talking to the Christian people here.
That's right. Exactly. And when he says cleanse your hands, what that means is what are you doing? What are you doing that's not godly? Okay, because the hands speak of what we do, our work ethic, what we do. So if we're to cleanse our hands, we're to make sure that what we do is according to godly principle, the commands of the Lord, what we do, how we conduct ourselves in business. Do we do shady deals? Do we compromise? Do we do things to make business happen, and we find ourselves compromising in those situations, pandering to them? We pander to people to get their business. Do we do that? He says, cleanse your hands. And he says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. So when we walk around with unclean hands, see, the Bible also says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, but he that hath clean hands and a pure heart.
Amen.
That's out of Psalm 25. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? In other words, who may come into his presence? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, but he that hath clean hands and a pure heart? Okay? And he's telling us here, cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. It's the same thing as said in Psalm 25. So we're to cleanse our hands and purify our hearts. And he says, because if you don't, you're double-minded. And the Bible also says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways because he don't know what to do.
Right. You can't be a bipolar Christian, a schizophrenic in the Lord, and expect to really get anywhere. You have to have faith. You have to read the word, and you have to stand strong in that word. There is no schizophrenia or bipolar in the kingdom of God.
No, there's not. You can't. You either got to be in, or you got to be out.
Amen.
And those who are partway in and partway out, Jesus said in Revelation, I'll spit you out of my mouth. I'll vomit you up.
I would not want to be a lukewarm Christian, my brother. I'd rather be hot or cold, because otherwise he's going to vomit you out of his mouth, and that's not good. That's the body rejecting something, and that's not where I want to be.
No, I don't want to go anywhere near that either. Just don't. And so the backslider and the sin, and to cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. I'm often reminded of that scripture in Proverbs 25, because that was a life word that was given to me years ago when I was a young Christian, that who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, but he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who had not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. That was given to me years ago. So it ties right in with that. That's the only way we can really approach the Lord. We have need to be clean hands and a pure heart before the Lord. And we don't need to be double-minded. And we don't need to doubt. Because double-mindedness, we don't know which way to turn.
That's right.
And when you don't know which way to turn, if you're double-minded, you won't go seek the Lord. You'll try everything else, trying to find something to placate whatever's going on. And that's not going to work. We cannot be double-minded. We have to be single-minded in the things of the Lord. Okay. Read 11 and 12. See what we got down here.
Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another?
Mm-hmm. That's a mouthful there too, isn't it? It's a misuse of the tongue. A misuse of the tongue.
Hmm.
A misuse of the tongue. And it says, speak not evil of another brethren. So we have to be careful in that we don't speak evil of another one. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law. And we're talking about the law of Christ here. We're not talking about the Old Testament ceremonial law here. We're talking about the moral law. But if but you've got to be careful, because we can critically judge someone and we can speak harshly about them or speak evil about them. And the scriptures tell us don't speak evil of someone. I'm kind of skeptical on trying to give an example of this, because again, you've got to be careful about speaking evil. And when you do that, you're creating a condition that doesn't need to be spoken of, because we have to be careful of those brothers and sisters that we know, that we do not speak evil of them. And there's a fine line there between speaking the truth and speaking evil, because the evil, again, we're talking about things in the heart. Because if you talk about things in the heart, then the heart attitude is the key here. And speaking the truth of someone who may have an issue or a problem in their life, and to pray for them and uphold them and to encourage them is one thing, but to speak evil of them in a derogatory manner, to slander them and denigrate them, that's what we're talking about here. Okay.
Amen.
Okay. So we have to be careful with that, and to be able to not do that if there's because I know people that have problems in their life, and you get requests for people that have problems in their life, and we need to recognize those, we need to pray for them. But it's another thing to take someone and just denigrate them and belittle them and speak evil of them and talk down to them and those kind of things. You need to be careful with that, because when you do that, it's a great misuse of the tongue. And James, in other places, has a lot to say about the tongue and what comes out of the mouth. Jesus himself said it's not what goes in somebody's mouth that defiles them. It's what comes out.
That's right.
That there's a defilement with the mouth. So we have to be careful with that. So James has a lot to say about the tongue in other places, but we're not going to go into that tonight. And we got one here about closing your eyes to the needy. I hope this is the right one. Proverbs 21:13. You got that one?
I do.
All right. What
Whoever
does it say?
Shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, what commentary you got on that one?
Well, pretending that something doesn't exist if you have a brother or sister in need, so that you can, I'll use a vague example. I got a brother you know, a family who's having hard times and they don't have any groceries, but I don't want to kick that extra 50 or 100 bucks their way because I want to go out and get my new, you know, I want to up my cable so that I can watch the upcoming football season or something. So basically, I'm shutting my eyes to their needs and looking, you know, to what I want. But according to scripture we just read, that'll come back and that'll come back and bite me.
It can, and when we shut up our ears to the cry of the poor, again, you have to be careful with these things. You have to be discerning, because none of us can go out and give away everything we have and put ourselves in the poorhouse for somebody else. That's not the wisdom of the Lord there. But when we know that we know that there's a need, in another place it says when you see someone have a need and shutteth up the bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in you? So when we know something is going on and we can help fulfill that need, we need to be able to reach out to them, either individually or corporately, or through some organizations that we support, that kind of thing. So we don't want to close our eyes to the needy, because if we do, then we're shutting up the bowels of our compassion. And it says, and he says, when we do that, when we cry out, nobody will hear us either.
That's right.
It's kind of like the story of the rich man and Lazarus, you know. The rich man shut up his bowels of compassion and didn't hear Lazarus. And the time came that when he wanted some help, lifting up his eyes in torments, that Lazarus couldn't help it. So we need to be careful with that. We need to be real careful with that. Mark 11, 25 and 26. You got that? Okay. You got this one, Dean?
Yes, I do. I hit the mute button by accident here. All right, it says, okay. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses.
Ooh, that's tough. That's tough.
That's tough, brother, because we all have had and perhaps still have issues with something in our past that's just hard to let go of.
It is. And again, it's a process. The Lord's been helping me all these years to let go of stuff that's been hanging on. And it says, whenever you stand praying, if you have aught against anyone, forgive them. In Amplified, it says, drop the issue, let it go. So that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive your transgressions and wrongdoings against him and others. He says, but if you don't forgive, if that unforgiveness is locked up in your heart, if that thing is in there, and it says, neither will the Father in heaven forgive your transgressions. And I don't know all the ramifications of that, but I don't like the sound of it, to tell you the honest truth.
You know, this is how you can judge yourself, Charlie. We always try to be simple here because you're just a simple, you know, Southerner. and I'm a New Hampshire hillbilly. So you got a Southern redneck and a hillbilly preaching to you here. And this is how simple it is. Ready? Forgive and forget. That's the key to real forgiveness. And how do I know that? Because the scripture tells us that when Jesus died for us and we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, that our sins were thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, which meant God no longer remembers them. And if God can forgive us our sins and forget them, then he is our example. So you and I, when we forgive others, we're supposed to forget and move on.
I wish in our humanity we could forget, but it doesn't have to have a hold on us. It doesn't have to cling to us. because I remember stuff that happened to me in my early years, but it no longer has a hold on me. I've forgiven those people. I've gone on, and I'm just aware that when I'm around people like that now, I just don't allow them to get into my life like that. In Matthew 6:14, it says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins," this is identified here, "your heavenly Father will also forgive you." So if we forgive, we will be forgiven. If we let go, then ours will be let go. And we don't want any of these things to hinder our prayers or hinder us in our walk with the Lord, that we can be right before Him and stand up right before Him and walk before Him, and that we can walk with Him day by day. And that's the key right there, is to walk with Him day by day in everything we do. Because I know even to this day that I find myself in situations, circumstances, that I have to stop and think for a minute. A lot of things have become natural to me now in my reactions. Not everything. But do I want to bless someone or do I want to curse someone? Do I want to be nice to them or do I want to not be nice to them? We have to weigh that out. And again, if somebody has done something to me, the Lord says to forgive. But if somebody were to steal from you, and you had a business and they stole from you, you would be right to let them go and forgive them for their action, but you wouldn't put them back in there in your business to handle money again, would you? No.
Well, no. Yeah, you have to walk in wisdom.
Yeah. You have to walk in wisdom. The only ones that can do that is the Federal Reserve Bank. I had to throw that in there. Because those are the ones that can get away with it. Those are the only ones that can get away with it. But,
you know, you mentioned something about your walk with God. And I know for years I used to think my walk had to be perfect. I had to walk that straight line, Charlie. And then I'd get discouraged and kind of walk away. You know what I mean? Because I'd figure, I can't do this. But people, when you walk... Walking is not always in a straight line. Sometimes you'll veer to the left. Sometimes you can veer to the right. Sometimes you can take steps backwards. Is that not right, Charlie?
Oh, yes, you can take steps backwards. Yes, you can.
So as long as you're walking, I think God will honor that. And like Charlie said earlier, God knows your heart. He knows the intention of your heart. And, you know, your walk with God is progressive. It takes a process of time. I think effort means a lot with God.
Yes, it does. Your hard attitude carries a lot.
Amen. Amen. So we got a minute 52, according to my time clock here.
That's right.
And that was good, Jelly. That was good. I'll be digging into some of that. I'm going to go, I think, somewhere in that main direction for Sunday. I'm thinking about obedience, but we'll see what God wants. And... what are you thinking? What are you thinking about? We got 90 seconds. What are you thinking about as far as Bible study tomorrow night?
Well, the topic tomorrow night is going to be, what does Jesus require of you?
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one, and we're going to be covering several areas of that and what the Lord does require of it. And so we'll look at that and see what some of the requirements are of walking with the Lord. And a lot of people don't want to deal with that, but that's something we have to deal with too.
Amen. Thursday is yet to be determined. I'm working on something. I'll send you the notes tomorrow on it, Charlie. Friday, okay, on Hour of Power, we are going to be talking about, are you ready for this? The God kind of faith. Yes, a God kind of faith. It is real and it is available. So we'll be talking about that on Friday. So anything else to add, Charlie? We got about 30 seconds.
I think we're good to go. I just trust the people that listen to this that they'll get something out of it, and they'll email us. You can email us through the website at pastordean.net and let us hear from you. And if you need anything, we'll be glad to help you out.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. We will see you tomorrow night on Facebook Live. We love you. And remember, Jesus is Lord. God bless.